Well, as the candidates ramp up spending on ads in the final days before the election, listen to this ad from the Democratic Super PAC Priorities USA.
When I saw Donald Trump mock a disabled person, I was just shocked.
You got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
That reporter he is talking about suffers from a chronic condition that impairs movement of his arms.
That is not the only ad to talk about the moment when Donald Trump mocked a disabled reporter. Now, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 53 million people have a disability in the U.S. That's one out of five adults. Joining us now via Skype from San Francisco is Alice Wong, who is the founder and project coordinator of the Disability Visibility Project and co-partner in the Crip the Vote campaign. Alice, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, what was your reaction, your first reaction to that incident with Trump mocking the disabled reporter? And is that something that still sticks in your mind?
Well, I did a really long and hard eye roll. So, you know, when I first saw that, you know, it was disappointing. I mean, it was really clearly he was mocking a disabled person who, you know, is a journalist just doing his job. And, you know, he just pretty much belittles him in a luncheon event. In a lot of ways, I feel like a lot of non-disabled people were shocked and had a far more visceral reaction. You know, this kind of bullying and kind of casual, you know, discrimination happens to a lot of us. So,
well, how often does that kind of thing happen? How often do people make fun of the disabled and you see it happen in your own life?
Well, I think a lot of it is much more subtle now. It's much more about microaggressions, which are, you know, just as insidious and just as damaging, you know. For example, when I'm out by myself at a cafe, people will still come up to me because I'm a wheelchair user. They're like, "Are you by yourself?" I'm like, "Yes, I am." So there's still a lot of paternalism and a lot of cannibalization. And I think this is another, you know, thing we've seen in the media with the elections, that, you know, people with disabilities are seen as this kind of vulnerable, you know, oh, we can't bully them. We got to protect them. And I feel like there's also another aspect that, you know, people with disabilities can speak for themselves, can defend themselves. We just need to kind of listen to them.
So you created the Disability Visibility Project. What is that?
It first started out as a community partnership with StoryCorps, and it collects oral histories from people with disabilities. I started it in 2014 as a lead up to the celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And now it's really grown into this full-fledged online community now.
And what about Crip the Vote? What is that?
Crip the Vote is a nonpartisan online campaign to engage both voters and politicians in a productive discussion about disability issues in the United States.
And are there issues for the disabled on the ballot this year, in your view? Do you think that whoever is president is going to make a difference for you?
Well, I think one thing we've seen in the second and third debates was a discussion about the Affordable Care Act. For people with disabilities, Obamacare has literally saved many, many lives. You know, this whole idea about people with pre-existing conditions can no longer be discriminated against. This was a huge thing about the ACA that most people kind of forget, that this is also a Disability Rights Act for a lot of people.
You know, a lot of people around this country have already voted, and many of them have had to wait for an hour, 2 hours in line in order to cast their ballots. Are there challenges for the disabled when they go to vote that are different that we should be thinking about as Election Day nears?
Yeah, we can look at it two ways. That a lot of coverage we see about voter suppression and voter ID, they disproportionately impact older adults and people with disabilities who may not have the ability to get a ID or may not be able to wait in line for hours and hours. So when there are states and communities with fewer polling places, it really will impact people with disabilities who may not be able to wait in a long line in the heat, may not have the energy, may live in communities that have really poor public transportation, and it may take them in an hour or two to get to the accessible polling place. And there's still a lot of polling places where they're not accessible physically. So it's really still a problem.
That's Alice Wong, the founder and project coordinator of the Disability Visibility Project and co-partner in the Crypt the Vote campaign. We'll link you to those at hereandnow.org. Alice, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.